All right, take your Bibles, please, from the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 8. And we are in our series and looking forward to what God's going to give us tonight through His Word. I've enjoyed this series, and we're going to be hitting the Psalms one message per chapter. I'm going to reference, though, again, Psalm 8 coming up. There's much in Psalm 8, and I'll explain why here in a minute, but there's much in Psalm 8 that it's going to appear that we're overlooking tonight, and yet it's going to fit in quite well with a message coming up in the book of Psalms. And so I don't want you to think that I'm going to overlook it. I'll explain that here in just a minute. But our desire is to for the next, I think, seven Psalms to hit one message per Psalm, and that way we can just keep moving forward. I don't want to miss anything. I'm not doing that so we can hurry up. Listen, I'll be completely pleased and glorify and honor God if Lord comes back before we get through the message tonight. It's not our goal to necessarily finish a series or finish a especially series through Psalms. I mean, this is going to take a while, right? There's a lot of Psalms in the book of Psalms, and so we're going to be here a while. So that's not our goal. It's not our desire. Don't show up thinking, you know, finally, we're getting to the next one, or whatever the case may be. Let's just take it as God gives it to us and try to understand what God has for us and apply it to our lives. But I do enjoy this and just very, very grateful for what God has done so far. Thank you for being faithful. I want to encourage you a little bit. God's going to bless you for being faithful to His house. Amen? And so keep being faithful and encourage others as well. And I'm very grateful for the church family God has given us. If you'll stand with us, we'll read Psalm 8. And we'll begin in verse 1. The Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask for his blessings on this message tonight. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity we have to be here. And thank you for this short amount of time to look into your word. And thank you for your word. And thank you for the truths of it. And Lord, you know what you've laid on my heart, and you know how you've prepared. And yet, Lord, I want to be sensitive to your leading, and I want to apply these truths in my life. And help us to learn from David. Help us learn from the Word, and to learn from you, and to be a changed people as a result. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Throughout the entirety of David's life, God took David on a very exciting and long journey. If you're familiar, I think most of you are familiar with the life of David. You see a lot that David did. David went through and the years and years and years of David's life recorded for us in the Word of God. God had been good to David, from the shepherd boy to the king of Israel. It was quite a journey. I love the story of David. I'm very grateful that God preserved his story for us, because he was a man after God's own heart, yes, but he was a man. And he sinned, and he had victories, and he had defeats. And yet he was a man who honored God, not every time, And there's, like I said a couple weeks ago, there's some whoppers in his life, right? There's some doozies where, man, he did wrong. But yet the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. When he knew he did wrong, he got it right. And when the Lord approached him, and maybe a couple situations took a little longer than others for him to get right, but he got right. And I'm very grateful. There's a lot we can learn from David. But not only am I grateful for the story of David, I'm grateful for the writings of David. As I talked about last time in Psalm 7, how we see the emotions that David had and the feelings that he felt as he went through these stories that we're familiar with and other stories. And we get to catch a glimpse of what he was feeling and what was going on in his heart and in his mind as he's going through these very familiar stories about David and other situations that we might have a psalm for, but we don't have a story for, you know? And that's what Psalms does for us. It gives us that aspect of it, and it's pretty awesome, I think. In Psalm 8, David composes a psalm, a song, an ode to the Lord, who had been so good to him. Again, as a reminder, yes, David was inspired by God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? But David is also writing from his true feelings and emotions. This, not only was David led to do this because of God's goodness to him, but also he's acknowledging God's goodness, but he's also recognizing here the as he's pouring his heart out to God, being inspired by God. It's crazy. He's literally, this is a praise, maybe a prayer, but it's definitely a song to God, but he's inspired by God to write the song to God. I love it. But it's true from his heart. And he talks about the goodness of God. He talks about the power of God. He talks about the glory of God. And God's power is vast. And God's glory is amazing. And over the years, I imagine maybe while in solitude, maybe in the wilderness, maybe on the run, maybe as a shepherd boy, keeping his father's sheep. Maybe there were times that, well, we know there was time that David had to think, to ponder, you know, to reflect. Oftentimes, when people are left to themselves, oftentimes when we're left to our own thoughts, bad things happen. A lot of times, when we have time to dwell in a certain situation, we kind of default to a bad place because we're dwelling on our circumstances, we're dwelling on the situation going around, we're dwelling on the hard things in life, and so then that's only going to result in negative mindset and negative thinking. But David here dwells on the goodness of God and on the blessings of God. This ought to help us out tonight. He dwells on the power of God. He dwells on the wonder of God. And here's a quick and early application tonight, okay? You have found yourself alone with your thoughts. You have begun to think, to ponder, and to really dwell on the circumstances going on around you and the situations in your life right now. What has happened as you focused on the negative? Well, it's led you. As you focused on the negative, it has led you to a default state of worry, of concern. When you're focused on the circumstances, it led you to what's going to happen. When Peter focused on the storm around him, it led him to falling, to going down. And that's what happens in our lives. And it leads to a negative thought life. And when we focus on the storms around us. But what happens when we focus on the goodness and on the blessings, and on the power of God like David did? Well, it leads us to a place of praise like it did to David. I love that. I don't know if you can hear that, Brother Glenn. I'm getting a little bit of a crazy sound there. I love that praying to God and praising God was as natural to David as eating was. Well, I've got the eating part down. That comes easy, right? But it came as natural as breathing, as eating does to us. And we've got that. We've got the breathing down. We've got the eating down. But how are we doing with praying? This is our prayer and fasting month. How are we doing with praising? You might say, well, when this situation clears up, Pastor, when this struggle ends, I can start praising. When my family problem, my financial problem, my health problem, my relationship problem, my church problem, my children's problems, my marriage problem, my country problems, when things are good, when this situation is taken care of, then I can start praising God. And hey, that is a time to praise God when God answers prayer, when God gives victory. I'm not saying that's bad. That is a great time. But come on, don't you think that there were problems that were going on in David's life when he wrote this psalm? We spent 7 chapters, over 7 sermons, really, on the issues that David was dealing with in his life. David knew struggle. David knew pain, and David knew betrayal, and David knew the consequences of sin in his life. And in Psalms, in the Psalms, in several of them, he admits to his struggle with those things. But in those Psalms, we also see what happens when he focuses on God, who is good, during those times of struggle. We see how David's mindset changed as he focused from his struggle to God. And he focused on God, who is powerful and who is amazing. Oh, yeah, we don't need to go back and look at them, do we? We looked at several Psalms where, man, he's struggling. And he is watering his couch with tears. And he's sweating. He can't sleep. He is struggling. Either because of his enemies or because of his sin or because of something else going on. But then his focus shifts and it changes and he stops focusing on the problem, and he focuses on God, who is powerful and amazing. Even during the times of struggle, God is still powerful and amazing. And there were times, because of David's focus, that he was able to write a psalm like Psalm 8. Psalm 8 is not the result of the absence. You don't read about struggle in Psalm 8. When David goes to God in Psalm 8, he doesn't petition. He doesn't complain. He doesn't whine about something like he did in some of the other Psalms. No, this is a psalm of just straight up praise to God. The entirety of it is praise to God. And Psalm 8 is not the result of the absence of struggle and trouble, but Psalm 8 is the result of a proper focus on God. And I want to say this, your praise to God is not going to be a result of the absence of struggle in your life. Your praise to God is going to be a result of your proper focus on who God is. Are you struggling to praise God today? Quit focusing on the struggles of your life and focus on who God is. Say it this way, your praise to God is not going to be a result of the absence of struggle in this world, because you do live in a sin-cursed world that is full of struggle. It shouldn't come as a shock and a surprise to us that we have struggle in a sin-cursed world, right? In fact, the Bible's pretty clear. Things are going to wax worse and worse before Christ returns. And so your praise to God is not going to be a result of the absence of struggle in this world. But your praise to God in the midst of all that struggle is only going to be because of your proper focus on who God is. We don't praise Him because of the absence of trouble in our life. We praise God because of the presence of God in our life. God is good. Amen? God has taken care of you. God is powerful. God has been wonderful in our lives. And David writes this psalm of praise, some would say prayer, directly to God. He is not asking for anything. He's not mourning about anything. He's simply glorifying and honoring to God. So I want to talk about why we should honor God like David did. That's our theme for the year, honor God, isn't it? And by the way, that's also the title of the message tonight, Brother Glenn. Honor God. Honor God. So look at verse 1. We believe that God is the creator of all that is. Amen. Let's look at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. We don't believe in Big Bang theory. We don't believe in the gap theory. We don't believe in evolution. We don't believe in theistic evolution. In 6 literal days, God created all, right? On the 6th day, God created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. He placed them as having dominion over the creatures of the earth. But as David said, God's glory is above all that. God's glory is above the heavens. God's glory is above all that is. How did David come to that conclusion? Well, he came to that conclusion partly because of this, and this is the first point for us, is this, because of who God is. We need to, number one, honor God because of who God is in our lives. Honor God because of who he is. Who is he? Well, that's a loaded question. But let's just go with what David said right here, okay? In verse 1, he said, O Lord, our Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah God. That's Yahweh. That's the self-existent, eternal God. In that day, some common false gods were worshipped, like Dagon and Baal and Moloch. These false gods were not on the same plane as the Lord God. The Lord God, Jehovah God, is the one true God. The one true God. Okay? The others were fake. They're not real. Made up in man's mind, and the idols that man bowed down to were made by man's hands. But David said, Lord, you're above all. You're above the heavens. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. It would do us good, listen tonight, it would do us good to realize that God is good. It would do us good to realize that God is above all. It would do us good to realize who God is, that his name is good. His name is above the heavens. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. He's above all that is going on around you. Listen, what's going on around you right now? A hailstorm. Yeah, that's perfect. All right? He's above that. He's above your circumstances. He's above your situations. He is above all that is going on in your life right now. All the struggles, all the problems, all the difficulties. And again, just remembering that it's easy for us to read a psalm and think that a psalm is, a psalm like this, a psalm of praise, is only there because things must have been going great in David's life. I've read through David's life as much as many times in the Word of God, and I don't see a time where things are going hunky-dory for him. But yet he still finds a way to praise God in the midst of all that. David says, you're above all, God. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. And listen, when you're able to focus on who God is, then you're able to praise God in the midst of struggle. So honor God because of who God is. So just to help us out tonight, I'm going to do a little different. This might seem a little weird. If you don't like it, you can tell me after church, and that's fine. All right? Say out loud, honor God because of who God is. Ready? Honor God because of who God is. All right? Number 2, honor God because of how great God is. God is so great that his superiority does not have to be displayed in powerful events. I love the timing of this. This is perfect. If you can hear me, I want you to think about this. Look at verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. So, I have a question for you, and this is right here in my notes. Does God's power ever get displayed in storms? Yes. I think so. It's kind of going on. But does God's power have to be displayed in powerful events? Does God's power have to be displayed in spiritual giants or in mighty men or in amazing miracles? Does he do that? We already answered that. Yes, he does. But does he need to? No. I love thunderstorms. Now, this isn't a thunderstorm yet. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. Maybe it is. I didn't hear anything, but we got hail out there, it sounds like, right now. But I do. I love thunderstorms. I'll never forget being in Montana, and I was a teenager. We were visiting my dad's family. My dad had already passed away by then, but we were visiting my dad's family in Montana, and it was out there in the country, Flathead Lake area. I was up on a ridge with my cousin, a couple of my cousins, and Abigail was the oldest cousin. She took us up there, and we sat down, and we started watching just scenery, eating a lunch, and I'll never forget a storm started coming from the distance. And I mean, it was one where you could see, because Montana is known as the land of the big sky or something like that. I mean, you could literally see the entirety of the storm in the sky from edge to edge. I mean, lightning and just, you could hear the thunder off in the distance. You'd see the lightning and then, you know, later the thunder would hit, but it wasn't over us. And we could see it going across the horizon. It wasn't coming towards us. And I'm just going, God is amazing. I love it. My wife, I make fun of her. It's not as bad as I've made fun of. She has asked me next time I talk about her getting scared in a storm to make sure that it's more realistic than what I want to make it out to be. Instead of waking up every time there's a storm and going, okay, there's a storm. She doesn't do it like that. She wakes up and she goes, babe, did you hear that? It's a big storm. Okay, that's really what she does. It's as bad as I make it out to be. It really is. I mean, she doesn't like it. She doesn't like it. I love it. Actually, it's like that droning sound for me. It helps me sleep, you know. I am impressed with God's power and God's might and God's amazingness in those things. And he does. He'll put himself on display in those ways for sure. When someone talks about the power of God, I think of the parting of the Red Sea. I can't help it. My mind automatically goes to that scene every time the power of God is in a discussion. I love thinking about Jesus walking on water with Peter, the raising of the dead, the walls of Jericho coming down, and the fact that God said, let there be, and there it was. I love thinking about those displays of the power of God. But what God wants us to see tonight through the inspiration of God, through David, is that God's power is as much on display through the miracle of a child as it is through the might of a storm. David has set out to express the goodness and the glory of God. He admires how plainly God displays his glory in verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth and has set thy glory above the heavens. But he also expresses how powerfully God proclaims his glory through the weakest of creatures. In verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. To bring down Egypt, God did not summon a powerful army, but he hid a baby in ark of bulrushes. He planted that baby in the very home that would be torn down when that baby grew into a man that would fall down. And we can continue using examples in the Bible. We can talk about the child Samuel who brought glory to God, the child Isaac who brought glory to God. We're talking about David here and when he was young. And we could continue, I know he wasn't a child, but when we could continue with John the Baptist. And let us not be amiss to, and let us not forget the child born to the Virgin Mary, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Because God is powerful, he can display his power in the heavens. Because God is powerful, he can display his power in creation. He can display his power in a storm in great strength, but he can also display his power in the sweetness of the miracle of life. Go to Psalm 139 if you would. Life begins at conception, in the womb. Not when the mother declares it to be so. Not at first breath, but in the womb. Psalm 139, verse 13. David, again, talking to God. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Sounds like God has a plan even in the womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Where? In the womb. Marvelous are thy works. Where? In the womb. And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance in the womb, not a mass of cells, not just a clump of tissue, but a human, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That would be the womb. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect or not completely developed yet, being unperfect, and in thy book, as far as you're concerned, all my members were written. Everything about me was finished as far as you're concerned, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Life in the womb is a miracle, and it is evidence of the genius and superiority of our God, our great God. God is great. Honor God because God is great. Go to Matthew 21, if you would. Matthew 21. The verse in our text here in Psalm 8, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Well, we don't have time to talk about four references in Psalm 8 to things going on in the New Testament. One of them is very much prophetic. We'll touch on that in a couple weeks. But Matthew 21, verse 16, and I had it, and I just took a marker out, and I lost it. So give me a second to get there. Maybe David didn't know it, but in verse 2 of our text, in Psalm 8, he was saying really what Christ was going to say in Matthew chapter 21. Look at verse 15, actually. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They, the Pharisee, the chief priests, were sore, and the scribes were sore displeased. In verse 16, and he said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. I love it. That's awesome. That's awesome. He was asked a question, and Jesus responded with, they're praising me because I'm God. Without saying it, he said it. Mic drop, and he left. And it says in the next verse, and he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. God is great. Amen? God is great. Look at verse 3 back in Psalm chapter 2. I'm sorry, Psalm 8. I don't know why I said Psalm 2. Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? So David turns from conception to the creation of the universe, to acknowledge how good God is. Verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. John 1, go there if you would. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're very familiar with that verse. We're also very familiar with verse 14. And the Word, Jesus Christ, was made manifest and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. But verse 2 of John chapter 1 says this, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I love the creation account. I mentioned it a minute ago. It didn't take millions of years to come up with the universe that we have today. It took 6 days. Go to Genesis 1 if you want to, but when you look at when God created, you can look there if you want, because I don't remember specifically what verse it's in. I think it's the fourth day. But when you look at when God created the sun and the moon. And then as a side note, he created the stars also. Just as an addendum. Scientists have never been able to count all of the stars. Every time they make a more powerful telescope to see further into space, they just find that space goes further than they can see. That's quite an addendum, isn't it? He made the stars also. How awesome! How awesome was the creation of the universe? In 6 literal days. Earth has a circumference of 24,901 miles. That's pretty big. It's pretty big. I don't like driving south of Kansas City. But the sun has a circumference of 2,017,000 miles. 190 times bigger than the Earth. It's 93 million miles away. I have a friend who said this. It's 93 million miles away, and this pasty white boy can be burnt in a matter of 10 minutes. And I say amen to that. I can personally feel what he's saying. This is why I have an appointment with a doctor to get another basal cell carcinoma removed soon. The power of the sun. You know, it's not the biggest star out there. It's called the white dwarf. It's an average-sized star. The biggest star that we know about right now, I did a quick search, and I also checked it with some creation scientists as well, I'm going to spell it wrong, or say it wrong, Uyscuti, I don't know, U-Y, another word, S-C-U-T-I. It's a red supergiant. It's 1,708 times wider than our sun. It has a radius of 738 million miles. Now we're talking about how great our God is. Consider the vastness of the universe. And David said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, our God is great. Amen? He's great in that his greatness is seen in the conception of life, and his greatness is seen in all of his creation. But then David goes on to say, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest? Which leads to number 3. Honor God for who God is. He's Jehovah. Honor God for the greatness of God. And then number 3, honor God for the presence of God. Honor God for the presence of God. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest? And the word visitest, we know what it means, to visit, okay? But actually the definition of the word, and the definition of the Hebrew word here for visit, visitus is oversee, charge, care for, avenge, bestow, want to give to. It means more than stopping by and saying hello, as we would use the word today. John Phillips said this, God is more interested in people than he is in plants, more interested in souls than he is, let me say that correctly. God is more interested in people than he is in planets, more interested in souls than he is in stars, more interested in us than he is in the universe. And because he is interested in us, he visits us. I love it. That's pretty awesome way to put it. Number 4, honor God because of his care. Look at verse 5. For thou, so verse 4 ends, and the Son of Man, thou visitest him. Verse 5, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. With all of creation on display, and the fact that God orchestrates the sun, moon, and stars, and yet God has chosen then, look what it says in verse 5, to honor mankind, crown him with glory and honor. We're made lower than the angels, but God, a little lower than the angels, but God set out to crown us with glory and honor, it says. Look at verse 6, there's something that's very important for us to understand here. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, thou hast put all things under his feet, and he goes through a list of specific things under the feet of mankind. That's something important for us. We're not made just a little higher than the animals. We're made just a little lower than the angels. What I'm saying is of God's creation, of all things on earth, we're the crown of his creation. It says, crown him with glory and honor. I'm not an animal. And even though my wife might call me one once in a while, I'm not an animal. Could have laughed there. It would just, you know. Thank you, Miss Linda. I appreciate that. She's laughing at me, not with me. I'm not a little higher, and you're not a little higher than the animal. Animals are not on the same plane as humans. Animals are not humans. Your animal is not a human. Your cat and your dog are not people. Quit treating them like they are. I mean, if you get nothing else out of the message tonight, you're supposed to be a good steward, but don't be stupendous. Don't be, yeah. No, here's the problem. And I was teasing there a little bit, but here's the problem. I hope you understand. Let me start with this. Charles Darwin described man as the most efficient animal to ever emerge on the earth. What a degrading view of man. God's crown, God's glory. Man is not an efficient animal. Man is made by an act of God, in the image of God, for the love of God, in the likeness of God. And when the Son of God stepped off the throne of the universe, this is a reference to verse 4, which we don't have time to talk about tonight as being prophetic, to enter into human life, he did not become an efficient animal. He became a man. And God has given us dominion over the planet, crowned with glory and honor, and says he's placed all things under his dominion. The Bible attitude to have is to understand that these things were created by God for mankind to use. And I know who I'm talking to tonight, but this is a big deal because Romans 1:25 tells this world today that tells us that this world today worships the creature more than the creator. And that's what this world's come to. And what I'm talking about right now is not being taught to our kids in the public school system. And it's not what our society is teaching. The purpose of creation is to point us to a creator God. Wow, look at that. That must have happened by accident. No. Wow, look at that. We have an awesome God. I know to some this seems elementary, but our kids are being taught in public schools what our world wants us to think. I mean, mankind has taken a backseat to environmental issues, to animal rights, and radical agenda that is nothing more than nature worship. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David gets specific about how powerful God is, and God has created all things, and he's specific, by the way, in what he says there. He goes, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. God in his care, he cares. Honor God because he cares, because of the presence of God. He shows his care in the fact that he visits us, and he shows his care in the fact that he provides for us as well. He's praising God for the fact that God is good, God is great, God is present in our lives, God cares for us. And then he repeats verse 1 and verse 9. Look at it, please. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Excellent. You know, that's a great word. Excellent. It's another word that has more to its meaning than what we like to use it for. The word excellent means glorious, mighty, worthy, noble, powerful, wide, large. We recognize the greatness of our God. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. We recognize the goodness of God. And yes, God wants us to pray. It's our prayer and fasting month. God wants us to bring our petitions, our requests to him. That's part of prayer, but that's just a part of prayer. Another part is praise. And maybe the entirety of our prayer ought to be praise at times in our lives, because that is when we take time to acknowledge how great our God is and who he is. And that's why David repeated in verse 9 what he said in verse 1 as the opening verse. The God you serve is too wonderful to accurately articulate. So spend time in recognition of God's goodness to you. Express it in words like, God, you're amazing. God, I don't deserve you. God, you are high and lifted up. God, you're worthy of all praise. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, Isaiah said. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the word man, I don't have time to get into it, but the word man, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. Two words for man there. It looks like the same word in English, but in Hebrew, the first word man is a different Hebrew word than the second word man. And the second time is referencing when Jesus Christ would come to this earth. And he's called, the phrase son of man in the Old Testament, the phrase the son of man in the Old Testament, is usually, not always, usually referring to just man as dust, just us. But when you see the words the son of man in the New Testament, it's capital S, and it's referencing Jesus Christ himself. And David is saying, God, you are an amazing God for all of these things. Sometimes we ought to pray, not asking for anything. Maybe we ought to just praise. And as a reminder, Psalm 8 is not the result of the absence of struggle and trouble. The Psalm 8 is the result of a proper focus on God. What are you focused on today? Your praise to God is not going to be a result of the absence of struggle. Your praise to God is going to be the result of your proper focus on who God is, in spite of the struggles. Because he's good. Amen? Because he's taken care of us. He's powerful. He's been wonderful in our lives. David, speaking under inspiration, but directly to God. Not asking for anything, not mourning about anything, simply glorifying